Turn on. Turn your Bibles to the book of the Psalms. Psalm number 94. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 94. I'll read verses 18 and 19. And they are showing us something about which we want to talk about today. And that subject is, who do you sound like? Who do you sound like? Psalm 94, verses 18 and 19. Hear God's word. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to hear your voice through your word. But not only your voice, but your heart. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was at someone's bedside as they were slipping off into eternity, and this verse 19 has been a bedrock for me in these types of times, and really in all times. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. To read the Word of God and to hear the heart of God, this will bring calm and comfort and encouragement to your soul. And if you're sitting here now being bored, if you're sitting here now being doubtful, if you're sitting here now or listening online or later sometime as you hear this message by whatever means, and you are stubborn and hard-hearted and do not believe this, I ask you to hear God's heart and to open your heart, to value His Word and engage yourself with it. That today, or whenever you might be listening to this, God's consolation would cheer your soul. Now, here's the thing about that. What we want when we say something like that is we want this personal thing to me, and that's all there is. Give me what I want and the way that I want it. Otherwise, I will not accept it. And in order to even receive that, you see, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a desire gained is a tree of life. But you could be getting all these desires gained and not even know they're right in front of you because you are not accepting the giver himself first. And so the idea is that we need to understand your consolations cheer my soul as who God is first before we get that particular little thing that we need and we want. I'm the same way. We're all the same way. Naturally, and even after we've been supernaturally born again, we want things the way that we want it. And if you don't give me it the way that I want it, I won't take it. Adults are sitting around a table and they look at the spread and think, this is great. But if there are children there that don't eat that way when they're at home, at their house they cook it a little differently. What will they do? They'll be shy about it for the most part, right? And you can eat it in front and say, it's delicious. And see how you are grown up, how you are spoken to, how you are shaped has a lot to do with the things that you accept and not accept in your life. My parents would always say, but it's good. It's good. It's broccoli. It's good for you. Even it'll make you get taller. And even that didn't work, obviously. And then they went to the tack of, well, it doesn't have any taste. And of course, by that time, I was a teenager, and my smart mouth said, well, then why would you want it? And then they let me see what it looks like up close. But anyway, now we're sitting around and I'm, you know, in my mid-50s and I still don't want the broccoli. And everybody that knows me and knows this church and all that, we make jokes about it all the time and all that. And yet, my 3- and 5-year-old granddaughters love this little broccoli and little baby broccoli because they've learned to accept it as good. And so not only do they love it, and they love it, it's crunchy, it's not crunchy, however it is, I'm still crying about it. And they are so happy to have it. I mean, we could be having pizza and burritos and all that, and they still do like the broccoli. It's a wonderful thing. But what happens when you've been that way? How do you change that? What about your relationship with God? I could read those words that I read. Your consolations cheer my soul. And you think, yeah, yeah, I've heard it all before. You need it to happen for you today. And I pray that God will so shape that plate today that you will look at that. You know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can make that horse so thirsty that it could be gross water and he's still going to want to drink because he's got to have it. And sometimes we don't realize just how thirsty we really are. But here the psalmist is saying that his word is what I need. When I have all these cares, when I thought I am messing this thing up, you need God to give you consolation. Amen. Anybody here feel like they're messing up in some area? Yes. Do you feel like you're going to mess up before you even get there? Yes. Why'd you ask me to do it? I don't want to do it. Or, I did want to do it. They didn't ask me to do it. Why are you letting them do it? I'm just not going to do it. Yes. Hearing God's word and hearing his heart for you helps you, especially in those situations when you feel like you're failing. And even when you feel like the cares of life seem to pile up higher than you can climb. When the cares of my heart are many, in other words, too many to deal with. You can encourage my soul. You can calm me down, slow me down, turn me round, and get me going again. That's what the psalmist is realizing here. He's not just recognizing, yeah, I see it on the page. I see it for other people. Yes, I've had it happen in the past. He's realizing it. It's getting to him right now as he's writing it down. And he's talking to us about it. And here's the thing. He's talking to himself. You know, at some point, every person realizes they talk to themselves. The fact that they have an inner voice. And I'm not going to get all New Age spirituality here. I'm going to tie this to what the Bible really says about these things. Now, here's the deal. Let me just prove to you that you talk to yourself. It's your thoughts. You're thinking this, that, and the thing. Well, that guy didn't have to be so loud right then. You're talking to yourself. People say, what are you, talking to yourself? Yes. And what will you do before you lashed out at me? Talking to yourself. I said to myself, self. Doesn't the Bible use that language? I'll build more barns. I'll do this. I'll do that. We all talk to ourselves. Let's just get over the fact that we don't and think that we're not supposed to. The Bible uses this and talks about this as an established fact. It doesn't try to prove that fact. You know that you say things to yourself. As soon as I say, do this, that, you say, you can't tell me what to do. First of all, yes, I can. You just don't have to do it. Everybody can tell you what to do. You just don't have to do it. I'm no puppet. Yeah. I'm going in the wrong direction here. Let me talk to myself out of this here. But here's the thing. You know you talk to yourself. Everybody, is there anybody that's going to deny that? Even little kids starting to realize. When they get frustrated down there on the carpet trying to get that pen off. And we all know they're saying, somebody help me do this. This isn't right. This is the most important thing in the world. Right? All right. Here's the deal, though. You need to know that you can shape your inner voice. Because your inner voice is what shapes your life. Scripture says we're transformed how? By keeping a set of rules? We're transformed by trying harder? No. How are we transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Right? Ephesians 4:23, Romans 12:2, we know these things. Your mind chooses what you're going to believe, which changes how you think, and that changes how you live. That isn't pumping yourself up with pep talk. You can do it. This is talking about dependence on what God has said about you, about who He is, and about who you are in Him. And the Bible is very clear on this. I want you to turn to Lamentations and the third chapter. Let me set that up just a little bit. Lamentations, it's lament, it's crying. This is Jeremiah, the prophet, crying, the weeping prophet, because now Babylon has sacked Jerusalem. And he's standing there. And he's been prophesying for 23 years and no one converted. And now the city is destroyed and the people are taken off into captivity. And it's a hellish scene. And he laments to God. Lamentations in the third chapter. You see, we do talk to ourselves. And we need to talk to ourselves more than we listen to ourselves. And I'm going to get to that in this passage here before we move forward. But you can be in a very bad place where it seems like there is no hope and your inner voice is bringing you down even further. Like you see in Lamentations 3 and verses 17 through 20. Listen to these words. I gave you the sort of context here. But see if this has ever been you. Because here's the thing. If this is you, do you want to stay there? He didn't stay there. Listen to what he says. My soul is bereft of peace. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. I've forgotten what happiness is. My soul doesn't have any peace. I forgot what happiness is. You shouldn't think, is this reality? So I say, here he is talking to himself, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. He's in a bad situation. It seems to be getting worse. He's talking to himself and making it even worse. I forgot what happiness is. It's almost as if you could talk to people and they go, I don't want to be happy. Ah, I don't want to be happy either. Not if it means I'm ignoring or avoiding what the reality of the situation is. Because if I get myself out of the fix, yet I'm not fixed, I'll find myself in another fix. There's one for your parents. You get people out of a fix. It's like they say, get me out of the pit, now give me back the shovel. I want you to get fixed. But here he is, he's in a bad fix. And he's not just being selfish. It's all around him. It's from what all he sees. You can read Lamentations. It's Lamentations. But lament is a biblical thing. You lament all the problems that are going on while still having hope in the Lord. Because you can change your inner voice and find hope in the Lord as you clearly see in Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. Are you with me? He goes, but this I call to mind. Let me say it this way. So I start talking to myself. Because myself was telling myself that I got no peace. Myself was telling myself that I don't know what happiness is. Myself was telling myself that I don't even have any hope and the Lord's not going to help me. So I start talking to myself. Because myself starts talking to me. That's what myself was saying. So I tell myself off. But this I call to mind. And therefore I do have hope. You see that? No hope. Now I do have hope. In a bottle. No. In a bed. No. In a boardroom. No. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I don't believe a word of it because every morning I wake up and I'm still here and we're still conquered by Babylon. Ah, but for all of you that act that way and just want happy clappy church, he goes further. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Psalm 73:26 says, my hope and my strength, my heart and my strength may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So you wrecked my car. My daddy owns the dealership. So you blew up the dealership. My daddy can make a car out of nothing and make me into a car. The Lord is my portion. I don't have need of anything except Him. And what He deems necessary for me to have, I can have. And I don't have to be spoiled by good things. And I don't have to be starved by a lack of things. God's my thing. And so He's talking to Himself. He's talking to Himself. And we talk about this. By the way, this is not where I'm going. If you don't have this down, though, get this in your heart. You got to preach to yourself. That's what we call this. Now think about this example carefully. Your inner voice isn't supposed to be avoiding or ignoring the truth. Rather, it's supposed to see the hard truth in light of the glory and grace of God. This is a big issue. And it's an issue that can cause great spiritual depression when it isn't understood. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, expositor of the last century, Martin Lloyd-Jones, wrote a book about it. He was a medical doctor, and he wrote a book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cures. And he said this to people that were depressed spiritually. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? The fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Self-talk is a myth. That's not just gobbledygook psychological language. That's biblical. Self-talk is a, when I said my foot slips, you're constantly, you know, come on. You read it right there. I think that's a prime example right there in the book of Lamentations. But self-talk is a major source of change for Christians that they need to apply if they want to get unstuck from their own self-sabotage. I don't care if you can hear me. Can you hear God? How long have you been stuck? And we're not talking about triumph, this, that, and the thing. We're talking about triumph, triumph, triumph. You're in that parade. When are you going to act like it? Now, you might agree with all that. But I want to go further than all that. I want to tell you something about preaching to yourself that maybe you hadn't considered before. Because a lot of us are preaching to ourselves. And we think we're doing it, so we're putting we're saying positive statements in our prayers. And we're putting things up on a refrigerator. And we know we got a bookmark. Oh, this is who I am in Christ and all of that. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that there's more to it than that. There's a reason why you think this isn't working. Is because you're hearing the words of God and you're not hearing the heart of God. Maybe you know you need to preach yourself and not just listen to yourself. Amen? Anybody? But are you aware of whose voice your inner voice sounds like? Now. Who do you sound like when you talk to you? I'm referring to the tone of voice in your head and the approach that voice takes. Does it sound like Jesus? Or does it sound like a bully? Or an abusive person. Maybe it sounds like someone who was cruel to you in your past or in your present. Or some hypocritical person you fear being like. Or someone who is always telling you how disappointed they were with you. When you fear or you fail, is the first thing that you hear some sort of disgust? Or you hear some type of suspicious mode of questioning, you're going to mess this up. Kind of attitude. I'm not going to talk to you about it was those people from before and you need to go back and have some dream about conquering that and all that. I'm saying you don't have to live like that and you can change no matter how you got that habit. No matter whose voice it is that you're hearing. Someone in your family or someone in your school or someone that beat you up or someone that did you wrong or whatever else it may be. Whatever that voice may sound like, Let me ask you, do you want to change that? I do. I'm preaching to myself right now. Now, people say you should sound like Jesus when you talk to other people, right? You know that. You shouldn't be unnecessarily harsh and you should be consistently helpful. That's true. Jesus is these qualities of 1 Corinthians 13 that you read. You should sound like Jesus when you talk to others. Amen, right? But do you sound like Jesus when you talk to yourself? I know. I admit it. Me too. I've even done it from this pulpit. Acting like, you know, God is this way with me and all that, because that's what I need. That's not what I need. I need the words of Jesus with the heart of Jesus, and he was never cruel or abusive, ever. And don't you blame someone that was that way with you. You change and make the world a better place. Harboring that bitterness and trying to play the victim, you don't have to play the victim anymore in the rest of your life. Do you sound like Jesus when you talk to yourself? And I'm not just talking about going easy on yourself. We're going to talk about this. This is helping me. This needs to be true for you as well. Not just the words of Jesus, the heart of Jesus. Let me ask you, how do you speak to you when you fear or you fail? What do you sound like? Do you sound like a bully? Do you say to yourself, there you go again, stupid? Do you pile on yourself telling you you're just, you know, pretty much messing up everything as usual? Do you ever tell yourself you're worthless or you'll never get things right? Do you hear, you should be afraid, you don't have what it takes? Do you say, and I have, out loud, I hate myself? Oh, don't share so much, you know, people. If you don't want to be real church, you know, go to the huge one where you can be anonymous. We're going to know each other here. We're exposed to God. He's going to help us. He's going to show us that no matter how much sin that we have and what it is, the problem is not sin. The problem is when we say it's not. The problem is not struggling. The problem is when we don't. The problem isn't admitting. The problem is when we do not. When we don't confess, we can't repent. And when we say, I confess, Lord. I've been trying to atone for myself by trying to beat myself up as if you'll go easier on me because I do that. And if I had a father or a mother or a sister or a brother or a cousin or a boss or a school teacher or a sports coach or somebody that was one of my friends and all that, I'm not going to blame them. I'm going to live life the way that you want me to live, with your words and with your heart, that I might spread that out and let the healing begin with me. You might think that saying I hate myself is what denying yourself means. It isn't. Denying yourself doesn't mean despising yourself. In fact, denying yourself may mean that you should stop being so cruel to yourself. As a Christian, you believe that you're saved by grace through faith. Amen? We got a big thing in our kitchen that says that. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works. It is not of yourself, so no one would be able to boast. And we believe that, and we receive that. We know we can't do it without God. So we've heard that, and we believe it. Amen? Everybody here? Amen? Somebody? I'm saved. But you shouldn't now believe that you grow in that grace by beating yourself into submission. Now again, you might just hear the license voice instead of the liberty voice. Instead of the law voice and say, well, see, then it doesn't really matter. So yeah, whoo, that's right. You're good. You're doing great. Go rob that bank. And we know that, but we do go that way instead of the right way. I pray that the Lord is going to give me an illustration that will help you for the rest of your life understand this and understand how to begin to talk to people who treat the safety net like a hammock and don't walk the Christian life and think that everything is cool and they're being a fool. But here's the thing. What does grace through faith sound like to you? Does your inner voice sound more like Jesus or the devil? Can you hear me? The name Satan means accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's your adversary. He's like a prosecuting attorney looking to condemn you. But Jesus is your advocate. He is your defense attorney. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, 1 John 2:1. He is interceding always on your behalf, Hebrews 7:25. Jesus is acting as your comforting counselor, not your condemning critic. You are there in the courtroom. Just imagine this. And you've got opposition and you're on one side. They don't say, oh, you messed it up now. They go, okay, well, let's do this. Let's do this. Like the GPS. You make the wrong turn. It says, it'll recalibrate and say, go now, go now, go here, go there. No matter how many times you go wrong, it's still going to try to get you to go right. Of course, the more that you go wrong, the more that you don't pay attention to the voice of, you know, Siri or whoever it is, Alexa, you got more ground to cover. But it never says, oh, I give up. You're just stupid. I quit. I did a sermon a few years ago where I spoke in and had it speak that. J.D., you are an idiot. I quit. It doesn't do that, does it? It'll just keep recalibrating, 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 recalibrating. So here's Jesus, and you messed up again. He goes, well, you know, you're mine. We've already got this thing established. Let's work on this. No, be quiet. Okay, wait. Well, let's work on this. And every little thing you do, the other side, that's not the Jesus side. Do you understand where I'm coming from? What does the voice in your head sound like? Does it sound like the devil or does it sound like Jesus? Does it sound like your adversary or does it sound like your advocate? Your advocate does try to say, look, don't say that because that will lead to this. Don't do that. That will lead to this. But they do it in a loving way. Again, Jesus is your comforting counselor, not your condemning critic. Is your inner voice amplifying the accusations of Satan or the advocacy of Jesus? You know, people can be real cruel and abusive with themselves. And I'm not sure if your inner voice sounds like some abusive or cruel person from your past or present. Or if it's just the way you are with yourself. But no matter where you got this habit from, you can change it. You don't have to play the victim from your past. Stop imagining things where you did something wrong and you were embarrassed. It's over. They don't remember it. No matter where you got that habit from, you can change it. You don't have to play the victim from your past. You can stop your inner voice from hurting you and you can start it helping you. Amen? If you went to a counselor who spoke to you, like you speak to sometimes to you, you wouldn't go back. You'd fire him, right? Maybe you need to fire your abusive inner voice. Still, you don't want to replace your inner voice with an indulgent voice. So the answer for the Christian is to have your inner voice reflect and amplify the voice of Jesus in your head and in your life. Think about it. Jesus will keep after you. He'll be even stubborn with you. But he's never cruel or abusive. Right? He's never cruel or abusive. That's you doing that. That's the devil tempting you to do that. He's never annoyed or disgusted with you. He never rolls his eyes at you. I was going to say, he's never like a teenager and roll his eyes at you, but then the teenager would roll their eyes. As I look at them all. He never lashes out at you. Yes, Jesus spoke hard words to the heart of heart. The self-righteous hypocrites, but he always spoke with gracious words of love, forgiveness, cleansing, and hope to those looking and dependent on him. Even when Jeremiah said, I have no hope from the Lord, he thought about who the Lord actually is and says, I have him, so therefore I do have hope. Even if I'm not getting what I want, it seems like I'm not getting hope, I'm just getting gravel and ashes in my mouth, I've still got God. Hallelujah. He always spoke with grace to those looking in dependence on him. Think about Peter. Peter says, I won't deny. Oh, Peter, come on. Who are you? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've been in touch with God. No man could have told you that. Get behind me, Satan. A few verses later. I will never deny you, even if I have to give my life. He went from hero to zero. Because not only did he get it, Jesus saw him do it the last time, looked right at him. But he didn't say, He didn't stop and say, everybody stop, I told you so. There you go again. He'll never be nothing. Did he do that? No. He didn't restore Peter only after he beat him down with I told you so's. He told him ahead of time, when you turn, strengthen your brothers. You love me, feed my lambs. Peter was focused on, well, you know I love you. He knew that too. He was focused on, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. You are restored. Get moving. Don't worry about what's going to happen to John. Don't worry about how you're going to die. Do my will. And he wasn't beating him up saying that. He's saying, you can do it. You can do it. I know you failed. I knew you were going to. This is an example for all the kiddies back there now in 2021. Oh, the Bible's not relevant. You're barking up the wrong tree, brother. So what does God sound like? Now I'm getting there. Because you're expecting one thing. I hope you're not, actually. But that's not where I'm going. How does God speak to you? I can't even do it. Through the Bible alone, period. Stop. Full stop. How does God... Full stop. How does God speak to you, sounding like Jesus by the Holy Spirit, in the privacy of your mind and heart? Well, I want to make something clear. I am not talking about listening for the voice of God. And I'm not claiming that your inner voice is God's voice. Hear me, this will help you and be better. What I'm talking about is marinating your mind so much in the Word of God and in its truth, but also in its tone, also in its tact, also in its attitude, its approach, that when thoughts come into your head, they reflect the words and heart of God rather than the voices of the Word. You got so much Word in you and so much way and wisdom and His heart that when you have thoughts, those thoughts are taken captive by Jesus. They sound more like what Jesus would say. Not that you know exactly what He sounds like and you're tuned into that. Stop being spooky spiritual. Stop being superstitious. You don't need that. Your consolations, cheer my soul, does not mean stuff that you make up. It may be stuff individual to you, but it can come right out of His Word. That's where His consolations are. Who He is. When I said, I have no hope from the Lord, I thought about the Lord Himself. And even if I feel like I'm not getting something, I've got Him. So I've got what I need, no matter how He dishes it out. Let me tell you something. That's what you need. Stop wasting your time. I've got to hear the voice of God, a still small voice and all that. Just keep telling yourself who He is and how He is. And live in a little bit of liberty here, and don't shackle yourself with such a burden. I just moved forward. Did what I did. Try to be godly. Do the right thing. All this. Pray. Examine myself. And just do what I got to do. And God is there, baby. 100% of the time. You'll find He's leading you all over the place. Of course He is. It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? God always does. He's got them. He's got them. And He's got you. Again, I'm not trying to beat you down. Are you hearing me? Is your inner voice sound like me beating you up? Not at all. I'm trying to shake the rug out of the dust and look at how beautiful the rug itself is. I can come up with better examples of that. God's going to help me. Amen? But again, marinate your mind in the Word of God, in its truth, and in its tone. So you hear the words of God with the heart of God. So then when thoughts come in your head, the first thought isn't beating you up or beating someone else up. It's going to be the heart of Jesus. That doesn't mean it's Jesus talking directly to you. He doesn't have to. He already has, and you're believing what He has said, and it's life. It becomes life to you. Your consolations cheer my soul. And so instead of saying, it isn't enough, you start saying, it is enough. I just need more. I was reading the Bible, and I just need more. That person's a fool. They've not dug deep enough. And they're just going to be on the surface the rest of their life. Boy, you don't sound very nice, do you? Jesus wasn't nice to hard-hearted people. But you don't crack open your own heart. God does that through His Word. You see, the Spirit doesn't sound like some sentimental self-esteem slogan. The Spirit doesn't coddle you with flattery or deny the truth of your sin. The Spirit isn't interested in the empty power of positive thinking. He tells you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. His voice is the voice of Scripture. When the Holy Spirit moves you, it's in the direction of God's Word. The Holy Spirit sounds like the Bible. But that means more than just the truth of the Bible. It also means the tone and the tack of the Bible. In other words, the attitude and approach of God. The Spirit tells the truth with the love and tenderness that is the heart of God for His children. You're in the car, and there's something in there you don't understand the button, and mom or dad will say, you don't need that, just focus on this. It may seem a little direct, but they're trying to get you to drive the car right. You can learn about these things later. I want to know this, I want to know this, I want to know this. Just trust God and get His Word so in you, and the way that He delivers that Word so in you, that you can walk around knowing what He would do and say, because you're living in it. This is to help you. It's to help you. If I could eat a burrito, and every time I ate that burrito, I didn't gain any calories. Amen. I got an inch taller and $1,000 richer. Next week, this room would be filled with burritos. But then, I found out. My friend Steve, he found out. JD, every time you eat that burrito, those good things happen to you, but 1,000 people in Africa or Australia or somewhere in Asia die. But I love the burrito. It tastes good. And look what it does for me. And all these wonderful things. Doesn't this fruit look wise, make you wise? It'll be like God. What would be the right thing to do? Slap the burrito out of my face and everybody else's face and throw them away where no one can get at them. And so Jesus, He says in Hebrews, no training seems pleasant for the first part, but it yields this peaceable fruit of righteousness. So remember, it's not just Jesus talking to you like, oh, it's so cool, it's great. But it is Him saying, you're okay. I've got you. I know this isn't fun, but believe me, I know what's best for you. Keep coming My way. Don't let anybody tell you no, they know exactly which way for you. You do it, and just know that I'm with you, whatever that may look like. And I'll change what you see. I saw no hope for me from the Lord, but then I saw the Lord. I saw no portion. Nothing was coming from His hand. Then I saw that He was my portion. I didn't know what happiness is. Now I'm taking joy in God. And so we say that, and we can feel it every once in a while, but we don't live it. Wouldn't you like to be filled up with that all the time? Hallelujah. That's what I want. Here we are doing business. Yes, I know my bills are coming. Anybody with me? You see, I'm not trying to beat you down at all. You don't beat your children down unless you're doing it the wrong way. But you say, get your hand out of there. Not because you're messing up my stuff. Because you'll never get that blue dye off their hand or whatever it is. Or it's a piranha. I don't know. Let me move on. More than just the truth of the Bible, the tone of the Bible. You see, you resist the Spirit when you submit to the devil's brutality in your self-talk. What you need is to read the Bible, listen to the words of God to you, combined with the heart of God for you, and pray to get that into your mindset. I think that the Lord had me not do it perfectly this morning because it's not me you need to hear. and that I need to hear that. So that when I leave here today and I have another assignment and it's like, see, you messed that up and you'll mess this up too and all that, and I'll say, that's not what God wants me to hear. What He wants me to hear is open your mouth and I will fill it with gracious words that give benefit to those that hear. The words of God with the heart of God. The words of God with the heart of God. The words of God with the heart of God. That's not like the counselor who says, this is the truth, take it or leave it. No, the Spirit of God says, let me help you believe it and receive it. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And only a counselor filled with the Spirit can reflect godly truth with godly tone and tact. Again, this isn't letting people off easy. This is telling the truth in such a way that they see it as good, as something they want. As a pastor, I confess that I haven't always been like this. But I'm hearing Jesus tell me that I have His mercy and grace to help me be this way going forward. The words of God with the heart of God. Instead of the words of the world that sounds like the devil. Or even the words of God with the heart of the devil. Beat people up with the Bible, right? You need to learn to tell the difference. The Spirit tells you, you should loathe your sin. Satan wants you to loathe yourself. The Spirit wants to correct you and convict you to set you free. Satan wants to condemn you to hold you captive. The Spirit says, there's something wrong. I'm here to help. Satan says, what's wrong with you? You're hopeless. The Spirit says, that's not who you are. Turn around. Come back home. Satan says, you know you're not really a Christian. You might as well go on. When someone belittles you, beats you down, is that the most helpful way to make a change? Somebody get up. Hear me. When someone beats you up and just, is that the way to make you change? No. You might change in fear, this, that, and the other thing, but your heart isn't changed. As soon as you get away from that, you're going to get out of that. Maybe. This is why we have children leaving the church. I don't mean this church. I mean all churches. Maybe. All they're hearing is law. Or maybe all they're hearing is grace, and they're not hearing both. You have this problem, but here's a solution. This doesn't seem good. It seems like it's this, but this is it. And now you can know liberty, truly. So if belittling you or belittling someone else is not the best way to help you change, which of course not, then why would you talk to yourself like that? Why would you try to build yourself up by tearing yourself down? Again, this is not a call to give yourself a free pass on sin or to flatter yourself with false promises. You know, again, Jesus isn't like, oh, JD, you're such a great basketball player. You're 55 years old and you're 5'2" and you're a little bit heavy and you never really played basketball, but you can dunk. You're such a great dunker. Every time I saw you, that would be ridiculous, right? I don't play. I like to watch play. But if you think I've ever dunked a basketball, it's because I jumped off someone else's shoulders and did it. So does Jesus lie to us and just pepper us up with things that aren't true? You're such a great student. You got all F's, but you're such a great student. You might have the capacity to be a great student. Jesus will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He will get you to the right place, the right way. You see, you don't tune into God by sounding like the devil. Your ears need to be tuned by the Spirit to the voice of Jesus, including His tone and His tact, so that your inner voice will echo His. You need to hate your sin, but you're not to speak hatefully to yourself. You're to deny yourself. You're not supposed to despise yourself. Wow. I admit I've messed that up. But I can change. God's grace is found in His Word. Not just the words, but the heart of them. When He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how like a mother hen I would have gathered you under my wings, but you would not. He's not speaking to the individuals that He wanted to talk to, that He did talk to. He's talking about the religious leaders. Pastors, if you hear this. Teachers, when you hear this. people in this church or whoever hears this, think about that carefully. God will expose your sin and convict you of it because He loves you and He's helping you. And when you fail, He'll help you rehearse the gospel again. That's your Heavenly Father teaching you to talk to yourself. What and how to talk to yourself. And your grandchildren, children, brothers and sisters, mother and father. Let me explain this in terms of the Christian life. Many times it can be seen as walking on a tightrope. There you are. It seems a little dangerous. You're pretty much going to be just on one path. You're being careful. Falling on the left, falling on the right. You feel nervous. But underneath you is the gospel. It's like a big safety net, and it reaches all the way up and around. No matter how hard or stupid, or even if you jumped, you're going to land in that net. And so you have more confidence when you're up there. But here's the thing about a safety net. It's not a hammock. God will counsel you and comfort you there. That's the Father with the gospel. There you go again. No. Hey, nice to talk to you again. Remember how we got this thing set? Okay, now the Holy Spirit's going to help you use that net to climb back up onto that tight rope. And as you get up there, you hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's not just at the end. It's now. Because you're going through the process. You don't just lay there in the hammock like, "I got the gospel and all that." No, no, no. You walk by the Spirit. You walk it out in life. And Jesus is right there going, "Yes, there you're doing it." And when you fall, it's like God the Father's right there with the net and say, "Hey, how you doing? Hurting a little bit? It's okay. I'm right here." When my foot slips, the steadfast love of the Lord held me up. I've got the safety net. But it doesn't mean I just do what I want to do and it doesn't matter. No. You climb back up that safety net to get back on that rope. And you just keep living life. Got a safety net. Isn't that good? Your consolation. That's my consolation, is the gospel. When I see things that are out of whack, when I do things and they are whack, whatever it might be, I can keep coming back to that and keep hearing God say, "Well done." "But I just fell." "Well done." "But I just fear." "Well done." And you're saying, "But that's Him lying to you." No, it isn't. Because you hear that consolation, you get right back up, the Holy Spirit gets you up on that tightrope, and you start walking again. You not only need the words of God, you need the heart of God. And His heart is that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish, would not fall out of that safety net, but instead would have eternal life. Tune into God's tone. Recognize His tact, His attitude, His approach. Counsel yourself not only with His words, but also with His heart. Counsel yourself not only with God's words, but with His heart. Then your inner voice will sound like Jesus, and that will bring joy and peace to your soul. The Bible says in Romans 15:13, there is joy and peace in believing. What does that mean? Just an intellectual assent to the words? Or the heartfelt penetration of the gospel into your soul. That's what it is. That's what you can depend on. That's what you need right now as you hear these words. Heavenly Father, so many times I've said, let us hear Your voice through the Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit. But now, I say, let us hear not only your words, but your heart for us. That you are causing us always to triumph and spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of you everywhere. Lord, so much mercy for us when we have done this wrong. So much grace to do this right. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.